Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
45 of Dallas, shotgun snap, handoff Mixon, breaks 340, down the middle 30, foot race to the 20, hash mark to the 10, galloping in, touchdown Texans! 45-yard touchdown run, Joe Mixon! And the Texans have taken an early 6-0 lead on the first possession of the game on a 45-yard touchdown run.
It would get a little closer, but ultimately the Texans win 34-10. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. That was Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. Perloff, probably should have known the Cowboys were in trouble. The evening started off with a piece of sheet metal falling from the roof of Jerry World. Luckily, nobody was hurt. But the evidence of the season collapsing right before our eyes, well, that one was a little too on the nose. But Yes, we get it. We got it. The Cowboys season is effectively over.
Well, at least no one got hurt before the game, during the game. Actually, none of the Cowboys had come away with any major injury.
Zach Martin.
Well, yeah, but Martin was hurt before the game. Martin's done. That is very much clear. Yeah. Although they said that he's probably going to retire after this year. I was wondering if my Eagles could eke out one more year of that guy. He is so good.
Well, we know that's who Micah Parsons is playing for. It's not for McCarthy because Zach Martin has done more for this team than Mike McCarthy ever has. I'm sorry. That's last week's headline.
No.
He worked harder than Mike McCarthy. That's last week's headline. This week's headline is Cowboys season over and done. And the Texans just really put a fork in them. And I think now, and maybe it was underscored for me watching Dak Prescott, who showed up to the game, by the way. I mean, he just had surgery in a totally different city on Wednesday and then showed up to support his team. So, you know, clearly he wants to still be involved and be a part of it. But, Perloff, as I'm watching the Dallas Cowboys lose that game, they've got to draft a quarterback. They've got to hope to lose out, which is going to be hard because they play the Giants, they play the Panthers, they've got some wins left on the schedule. But they've got to get the highest draft pick possible. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care that they paid Dak Prescott. Because you need a season where Dak Prescott comes back, plays maybe well, gets a little bit of a market around Dak Prescott, and he can also help groom the next quarterback. And you've got to start this thing over with a new QB.
So how high do you have to get? What are you talking about? Give me a number.
Right now they're sitting at 9th.
Okay.
And you've got some teams in front of you, I think, that may also win some games. So it's possible that the Jets win some games. It's possible the Patriots win some games. I could see Cleveland winning a game or two. Tennessee, maybe. It's possible you could get into the top 5.
Oh, Cleveland.
Well, Cleveland also wants a quarterback. But maybe you get into the top 5. And if you do, you've got to take a QB there.
So you're going to take say Shedeur Sanders.
Let's say Shedeur Sanders.
With his tie to the franchise because of Deion.
Yep.
You're going to pass on a potential all-pro at every other position when you need so much help. If you look at, first of all, you're going to pass on Travis Hunter, who would be amazing there. And if still standing at 5, he might go number 1. We don't know. You're going to pass on a superstar defensive tackle. You're going to pass on a pass rush. You're going to pass on...
Yep.
By the way, I know that they keep on drafting tackle. That'd be crazy, especially if you bring in Belichick and Mason Graham from Michigan sitting there and you don't take him. That would be absurd.
Nope. It would be the smartest thing they could do.
They'll be mediocre forever if they don't fix that run defense.
What are they going to do with Dak Prescott? You think that they're going to be a Super Bowl contender all of a sudden? Come on. That's a pipe dream. And you're talking about needing to really do some kind of rebuild. You've said it yourself. They do need a different direction here. To run it back with Prescott on his third coach, what do we think's going to happen that's going to be so different?
I don't think Prescott's a problem at all. I think they could be really good. I think they have a lot of, they have a lot of cap space for next year. I know a lot's going to Micah Parsons, but the cap's going up. So this was despite Jerry saying all in, this was okay, we know we can't spend a lot. We're going to bury this season, and next year is when we start spending money.
I heard that last year.
Yeah, but they didn't really have the money this year. So now they can spend next year. Their young offensive line gels. They have young stars on defense. Dak Prescott looked pretty happy last night. I feel like you could turn this around and be a good team really quickly if you hire Bill Belichick.
They were getting blown out with Dak Prescott. This is not something that happened yesterday or last week with Cooper Rush. And here's the thing. You signed him to a four-year extension, right? And right now, his stock, Dak's stock, is at an all-time low. But if he does play well and he can mentor the next quarterback, you also have to be thinking about this for the Cowboys. Unless you think Belichick is going to come in and win you a Super Bowl year one, you're probably not picking in the top five again for a while. So instead of thinking you can pluck your next Tony Romo or your next Dak Prescott in either undrafted or these later rounds, how about actually getting a quarterback? And by the way, your connection to Deion helps you here, because Deion Sanders has said he will steer Shador to a place that he trusts. And I think he does trust Jerry. Now, I don't know if that's good judgment, but he definitely trusts Jerry Jones.
Oh, my God. That would be such a – it'd be so painful, though, to not draft a player that's going to play.
Okay, but you just laid out the scenario of the young players that they have on the offensive line. They have young players on defense. Does it even line up with the timeline of Dak Prescott? This is the perfect time to get a young quarterback in there who can grow with this young team.
All right, let's pull up any mock draft. I'll pull up CBS, our buddy Ryan Wilson. Travis Hunter, you're telling me you wouldn't rather have Travis Hunter there next year than the Shador Sanders? Passing on Travis Hunter, I hope for the Cowboys he doesn't get there and they pass on him, because that feels like a marriage made in heaven.
Okay, two things. Number one, what's the most important position in football?
QB.
Thank you. And two, what's Travis Hunter playing in the NFL?
He's returning kicks, he's returning punts, he's a cornerback, and he's a wide receiver. What isn't he playing is a better question.
He's not going to last if he's doing all that.
Why do you say he's lasting in college?
Has he? He got hurt last year, he got hurt this year. He's not going to last doing both. You talked about this with Shohei Ohtani, how Shohei's got to pick either hitting or pitching. This is a way more physically demanding sport. I think Travis Hunter, that's a whole other conversation we can have just about him specifically. I think he's going to have to pick a side here. And so if I'm the Cowboys, do I want quarterback or do I want utility man? And by the way, I love Hunter.
By the way, I don't even think if they pick, say, five, I don't think Hunter is there for them anyway. So that is a
maybe.
Let me give
gone.
You, what if Mason Graham is there and, like, they are so desperate for a star interior defensive lineman? Like, I've never seen any team that needed a run stopper more in my entire life.
They've been drafting those guys.
Mazi Smith, they missed.
Michigan.
Yeah, he went 27.
Line.
Mason Graham's like Gerald McCoy. I mean, he is like he's a generational defensive tackle. Next, Abdul Carter on Penn State. Are you telling me that guy's sitting there and you don't draft him to put him across from Parsons after Lawrence is gone after this year? I don't know. That'd be crazy. You can't give up a year. Jerry's 82. You can't wait. You can't bury
it. Okay, this is the year that's been, in effect, given up on. This is the year. You're sitting
right,
here
so you can't give up
seven.
On that. But if you use a top five pick on a quarterback and don't play him, that's sort of giving up on next year.
No, it's not. It's trying to do both. You're going to have a good team for next year if you get back on track. And you're setting yourself up for the future so that you actually have a plan this time. Why is Dak Prescott, why did he get this four-year, $240 million extension to begin with? Because the Cowboys had no plan. If they had had a plan B, Dak's not getting this money. You're not tied into it. And you're actually probably feeling a lot better about your organization if you're a Cowboy fan.
That's easy to say now that Dak hamstring tore off his bone. But did you think that in August? Like, it kind of seemed after Trevor Lawrence and Tua got paid, oh, crap, we better pay Dak because this is the quarterback rate. So I think most of us were like, well, you didn't really have a choice.
Because they were not developing anyone behind him.
That's not how the NFL works. You don't develop it's not like there's a developmental quarterback behind you. You get a new guy. That's generally how you do it.
But how do the good teams do it? How do the Packers do it? How do the Kansas City Chiefs do it?
They've done, okay, the Kansas City Chiefs.
How did the Ravens do it with Joe Flacco and Lamar?
The Kansas City Chiefs, how many times have they done that? In the history of the franchise.
And was it one of the smartest things they ever did?
You say, how did they do it? They did it once. And because they picked Alex Smith off the trash heap, basically. Well, he was okay with San Francisco. But generally, I don't think that was like, that's a franchise philosophy. Right, the Packers have done it twice. But it's not like that is like the end-all to be-all around the NFL. Like, the great teams have this quarterback pipeline where there's a guy behind.
They got lucky. They had Dak behind Romo, and now he was a later-round pick.
Yeah, that was blind luck. They picked him in the fourth round because he had a DUI during the draft process.
I'm just saying it worked, though, and they don't repeat it. This is the thing about the Cowboys. They feel like they never learn from any of their past, both positives and negatives.
Well, they brought in Trey Lance. Isn't that similar?
But then we never saw him.
So you're saying,
and even you said McCarthy's West Coast system is not suited for somebody like Trey Lance, who's going to run all the time.
But you can't say that like Dak Prescott is proof of concept here. They took him in the fourth round. That's backup round.
I'm just saying, if they had had any other possibility of a quarterback, do you think Dak's still getting that $240 million? I don't think so.
So, but that's not
it. It was not a no-brainer that Dak got that contract. We talked about it for months.
At the end, it seemed like, I'd like to pull our audio from that day. Like, it didn't seem like they had a lot of choice. Like, you're not going to bring back Dak Prescott. You're just going to go into the season and let him walk.
No, the only reason why they brought him back is they didn't have a choice. Remember, I kept asking you, who are they going to bring in? Kirk Cousins? Like, that's, you're doing one for one there. They never had a plan. And now, this is your fortune of what's happening this year. Last year's offseason is not going to look the same as this year's offseason, because last year you weren't picking top five. This year, you might be.
But here's the thing. Like, Trevor Lawrence is not like the guy. Nobody who got paid had an option behind him. I don't think there's like this magical depth chart out there where people are leveraging. We talked earlier in the show about Brock Purdy's leverage. Like, usually most teams go one deep at a quarterback. There's very, very rare exceptions, maybe four times in NFL history, where there's been this pipeline where we got this guy like developing behind the bench. It just doesn't happen.
Well, but has it been successful when it has? And now the Cowboys have an opportunity to do it. It wasn't set up for them last year. This year it is set up for them.
Name another, like, who's in the pipeline in Buffalo? Of course no one.
But Dak Prescott and Josh Allen are not the same. They're not even close to being the same person.
This is so easy to say now that Dak Prescott is injured. Honestly, in August, it did not look like this. I think this is, you're not saying like, oh man, they should have had, like, who were they going to have behind them?
That's the point, Perloff. I'm telling you, the reason why Dak Prescott got paid is because they had no other options at quarterback. That was last year. Now this year, if you're choosing top five, you give yourself a possibility to have a quarterback behind him.
But they're spending $90 million of cap space on Dak Prescott, and you need that top five pick as a huge opportunity cost to get a superstar. You're going to get a great defensive player there.
So what you do is you showcase Dak for a year, and you're going to have teams who are going to want to take him.
No, there's nobody will ever pay that money to Dak Prescott.
You underestimate how desperate some teams can get for QBs.
Look at the details of that contract. There's just no way. I mean, there's nobody can take on that health risk for that much money. I mean, it's...
And yet you're telling me the Cowboys shouldn't have a plan B. Like, the Cowboys have health risk with Dak. But things have changed since the contract got signed.
They can't afford to draft a player. They're not the Jets. They can't draft a player that will not be on the field. Like, they need so many players. Like, last night they looked like a USFL team. I didn't even know half the guys lining up. They need talent everywhere. They need an infusion of young talent. So that you can't just, if you're number five and you pick a backup for 2 years, because Dak has two guaranteed years, he's got to be there, unless he's going to start over Dak, and Dak's going to be an $80 million backup.
We're only talking about a year ago. This is a team that won 12 games. So you're saying that there's no talent on this team, but 2 years ago they won 12 games.
Yeah, they got
a
old.
A year and a half ago.
They got old. Tyron Smith got old, Zach Martin got old, and DeMarcus Lawrence got old. So it happens. So they have to rebuild. Like, don't you think that they desperately need one of these defensive stars? That they sit at five and there's like an all-pro pass rusher there. They're not going to take him.
Over a quarterback, I just don't know who would make that calculation. When it comes to it, at the end of the day, you've got Micah Parsons and you're about to pay him a boatload. So I think I would definitely go quarterback. Let's go to the phones. 855-212-4227. Big Dave is our pal in Kentucky. Hey, Dave.
What in the natural hell am I listening to this morning? I don't even know where to start. But let's start here. Let's go back to one of your most loyal callers telling you guys in the world that Dak Prescott is a mediocre quarterback, and the concept of paying him $60 million a year was the most ridiculous thing I'd ever heard. Let me tell you a term that I am sick of hearing, and it's leverage. It's leverage. McLovin says it a million times a day. He's got leverage. Look at the leverage. What's that paying off? You cannot pay a mediocre quarterback that kind of money and have that kind of cap hit against your team and hope
to have... Yeah, but Dave, they did it already. You're right. They shouldn't have done it, but they did.
I'm saying conceptually it's stupid. It's stupid. He is what he is.
Yeah.
Second thing is, okay, 2 weeks ago, Maggie, what have you become? I was the one that said the Cowboys have to blow this up, and you laughed in my face.
We did.
Damn, that contract up, and now this morning you're reciprocating the very thing that I said.
Dave, what's changed in the last few weeks? Your quarterback got hurt. You have 3 wins, and you're looking at potentially a top 5 pick if you keep losing. That changes things for the Cowboys. You're picking 27th. I don't know what you're going to do. You're picking top five. Go for Shador.
You're missing my point.
What's that?
It went straight over your head, duck. That was my concept to start with, that you have to blow this up. And everybody, McLovin's saying, nobody's going to pay all that money. They don't have to. They're going to have to eat some money. But Dak Prescott is not the answer. He's never been the answer. He's hurt. He runs like Herman Munster. And now he's got another lower extremities injury. I don't understand you people sometimes. And this quarterback market is going to have to correct itself, because these owners are finally going to figure out that just because you don't have a better option is not an option to hamstring your franchise for the next 5 years, because you're grossly overpaying mediocre players.
Well, Dave, you're right about that. And I think the wide receiver market's probably going to correct itself a little bit too. But Dave, okay, I'll take you back to this, okay? Summertime. Actually, just got an email about this, wondering when I'm going to pay this bet off. I've got to go to a Waffle House, and I got to sit there for 24 hours and eat waffles, okay? Now, the reason I lost to McLovin on this bet is because I thought at the end the Cowboys would not pay Dak. That's what I thought. I thought at the end they were going to chicken out and they weren't going to pay him.
Was that the bet?
That's the bet. Dak Prescott got paid basically 3 days later, and I'm going to be sitting at a Waffle House soon. Roger, who sent the email. So I'm with you on this one. But then it's like, all right, well, now you've paid him, so now it feels like you made your bed. Another, as you said, another lower extremities injury, maybe looking at a top 5 pick. You got a whole new ball game here for the Cowboys.
I agree. To start with, I would be happy to sub in for the bet for you. I love Waffle House.
I'll meet you there. Yeah.
Wait, Dave. So you're Jerry Jones. You're sitting at 5 in the draft. You're not taking a potential defensive star. You're taking Shador Sanders to sit him until 2027?
Possibly. Why?
Oh.
Possibly. I don't know. I mean, listen, here's the bottom line is this. The Cowboys are going down this is more than just a bad season. I mean, their roster is at a position right now. Look at, my Bengals, okay, been a gross, they've grossly underachieved. They've been a huge failure this year. But they've got the number one quarterback in the league, number one in passing, the number one receiver, and the sack leader. I mean, they've got some components to build around. Dak Prescott is going to take you nowhere. Because if you think he's going to come out of this hamstring injury better off than he was before, I'm serious. I have said for a couple of years, he has not been the same. He was mediocre, slightly above mediocre at best. After he broke the leg, watch the guy in the pocket, man. I mean, he runs like Herman Munster. Now another hamstring injury. You think that's going to get better over time?
No, Dave, it's not. Seriously. And when Dak Prescott doesn't run, it's obviously very much limits him. But, Dave, I'm serious. I'll meet you at that Waffle House to pay off that bet.
Hey, I'm in. Listen, I could do some damage at a Waffle House. Listen, I'm on the upper side of 260. I mean, I'm a lean 260.
Yeah.
But
do you round up or are you rounding
brown
down?
Well, I'm rounding down slightly.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, I'm in. Hey, great show, guys. Thanks.
Dave, you're the best. I just want to bring one thing to Perloff's calling me crazy, because I think that the Cowboys with the top 5 pick should take Sanders this year. But Perloff, you and I argued about what the Falcons did, having Kirk Cousins on a $100 million deal and drafting Michael Penix, and you loved it. What's the difference?
The Cowboys have so many more knees than the Falcons, and also that this draft was, there was no defense star. I mean, they're going to be looking, I'm like salivating over the names they could add. Can you imagine Abdul Carter on one side and Micah Parsons on the other? I just think the difference is the Cowboys have all this pressure to win now, and Atlanta hasn't won in forever. I mean, Atlanta, when's the last time Atlanta was 12-5? It was a prime Matt Ryan. I can't even remember. I honestly, and I watched Atlanta now. I loved it because I want to see Penix. Like I want to see.
But they had Cousins. You're
I don't know why
Penix.
Cousins is there. Like Cousins serves no purpose. I would just go straight to Penix right now. I love it because I think they got one of the better quarterbacks. That being said, the Cowboys is totally different because they have 3 years at $90 million of cap hit per year. Like they're gonna have no space to do anything. Like they're gonna have a terrible roster around Shador by the time he finally gets on the field.
Listen, this is the time to it even doubles down on my point.
Shador's old too.
Have a cheap quarterback though.
Yeah, but
you can fit the first 5 years of that quarterback contract give you a little bit of leeway.
So you lose two to because Dak's got to be there. Dak is going nowhere for 2 years unless Dak's gonna be the backup.
I think it's Dak Prescott. That in my vision plays well, and you create a market for Dak Prescott.
That's where I would call you crazy. That not the drafting Shador thing. That there's logic to that, like the Patrick Mahomes. But there's just no way nobody's taking, as Dave said, a guy whose hamstring is not on his bone, who's $90 million of cap hit.
Well,
it's the biggest cap hit by a huge. It makes Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson look small. It's so gigantic.
There's another scenario where you're also betting that Dak Prescott is probably going to get hurt again. And then insurance is going to take a lot of that money, and he's going to end up either having to miss a lot more time with injuries because he can't run and can't protect himself, and you're going to need a quarterback anyway.
That's a Hail Mary.
He's gotten hurt now 2 out of the last 3 years.
And he's coming back. I mean, honestly, for
how long until he just gets hurt again?
For $80 million, I would come back too.
Adrian's in Maryland. Adrian, you think I'm bugging out?
Maggie, you're crazy. I think you've been on that treadmill and you're losing oxygen to your head because that's a crazy scenario. There's no way they draft Shador. They take the pick. If it's a 5 pick, they're going to move down, get a couple picks with that. They got Sam Mills coming back, edge rusher.
Sam Williams.
During training camp. They got Bland coming back. They got a number of guys just coming back. And Dak, Maggie, you're saying, if he comes back and plays well, and you get takers from him. You're not going to get takers because they're playing well. Why would you trade a guy that's playing well?
Because you have a plan, and the plan is ultimately to upgrade at quarterback, and that would be with the younger version of Shador. And what does that also do? Everyone wants young quarterbacks for flexibility. But Adrian, here's my question to you, right? You hear Dion saying, I'm going to have a say. I'm going to use private influence to try to get both Shador and Travis Hunter to places that they want to, that he thinks are winning organizations, right?
Okay, I'm listening.
What do you think he's talking about?
You think he's talking about Dallas?
I don't think he's talking about Cleveland.
I don't think he's talking about Dallas.
So where is he talking about? Where, the Giants? Who's he talking about? The Vegas Raiders? The Cowboys look like the 49ers of the 90s compared to them.
You guys want them to think that's what he's talking about. He's not talking about that. He's talking about just going to a good organization. They're not going to have a choice on where he goes. If he says that I'm not going here, he's going to basically get blackballed from the NFL because they don't play that. This is not the NBA.
Yeah, but Eli Manning didn't get blackballed.
What was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
How long ago was it? And it didn't really work out. It worked out. They got the Super Bowl. He didn't play well.
Adrian, they got two Super Bowls out of it. Eli Manning's going to the Hall of Fame.
Maggie, they went on a run on those Super Bowls.
Okay, we'll talk about Eli another time, but it definitely worked out.
Okay. Well, let's get back to this. Shador Sanders is not going to the Cowboys. They're gonna move down. They're going to take the draft picks. Because they got so many holes in this team, so many holes they have to fill in this team.
Adrian, you guys got to start thinking outside the box. You got to start thinking a little more like Jerry. Adrian, thank you so much. Sorry, we're up against it, dude. Good to hear from you.
You're being funny, right?
What's Jerry about?
I don't. He's drafting left guards in the top 23 a year in, year out.
It's about sales. 855-212, selling you hope. 855-212-4227. We got to take a break. What do you think? Cowboys, crazy to draft a quarterback, crazy not to. Got to keep losing. That's important here. Got to keep losing. Short-term pain for long-term gain. You can call us 855-212-4227.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I want to go back to last segment toward the end real quick, Maggie.
Yeah.
When you said think like Jerry Jones, you were kidding, right?
But just soak your brain in Johnny Walker blue and then get out there.
But you said that he likes to make big marketing moves, and there is not a single more boring drafting team in the history of the NFL. They don't draft anybody. They draft guard, tackle, guard, tackle. My plan is simple. You want to draft Shedeur Sanders, have him sit behind Dak Prescott. I want to hire Bill Belichick, and Bill Belichick, when he got to New England, drafted like a million massive defensive linemen. I want to win with Bill Belichick defense, and Dak will just be a caretaker, and you can bring the glory back quickly in Dallas. But you don't have a lot of time. You don't have time to wait for Shedeur Sanders.
The Why cap not? This is
Jerry's 82. You're not going to wait until 2027 to play your first round pick. You need so much help. In fact, by the way, I like what a caller said. Trade down and get me Ashton Jeanty. Like, I have all sorts of plans with these draft picks. I'm going to get three first rounders out of that top five pick.
All right. Well, good luck then filling the most important need on your football team. You can talk about running back. We can talk about pass rush. You can talk about interior offensive linemen. I'm going to be honest with you. The Cowboys have some talent. It's not like they have none.
Yeah,
somehow they won 12 games last year. Right. So maybe this year isn't your year. And to not take advantage of potentially having a top five pick and taking a quarterback to set yourself up is pretty silly to me.
Well,
and,
yeah, but you have this $90 million a year cap hit going with Dak Prescott.
Here's the thing, though, about that. Number one, Dak is now, I think, officially, I don't say injury prone, but he's a quarterback on the wrong side of 30 who's now dealt with multiple lower body injuries.
If we knew that before.
But this latest one is ripping the hamstring off the bone, yeah. Okay? So it's getting worse, and I just don't understand why you also wouldn't use this unprecedented moment where you have one of your former stars, their kid happens to be a great quarterback, and the star player, we're talking about Deion Sanders, of course, has said he wants to use his influence to get his son to a place that he wants him to go. And I don't think he's talking about Cleveland.
Do you believe that?
So put two and two together there. If the Cowboys have a top five pick, to me, a no-brainer. But you're welcome to weigh in at 855-212-4227. Well, I don't think he's talking about Cleveland.
No, honestly,
the same way.
I don't think it's going to be a great quarterback draft either. Obviously, there's teams that are going to be tanking the following year for Arch. It just doesn't feel right to me to go with Shedeur. Shedeur is also a bit older. He's going to turn 23 in February, so he definitely has to wait. Because you can't get rid of Dak's contract, and you can't have Dak as a backup. It just feels like there's just a lot of needs. Like, you could really go for it next year, and you have to. I know, I'm sorry, I'm sounding like Jerry. Like, you got to be all in, Maggie.
Okay, well, do you think the Denver Broncos are making the playoffs this year? Probably, right?
All in.
On the fringe?
Probably, because their schedule is so awful. But.
Well, okay, but they're winning games with a rookie quarterback, right?
Right.
And what do they have to do? They took an unprecedented cap hit. It's not easy. It's not fun. Nobody wants to take this cap hit and see Russell Wilson probably also make the playoffs. So I understand it. But they're doing it. And now they're set up with Bo Nix because they didn't let the fact that a contract got in the way. And it's just not the same as a couple months ago when they gave Dak this contract because he got hurt again and your season's off the rails. So you got to take the opportunity that's in front of you. That's all I'm saying.
You think he's talking about Dallas?
Yeah, but also you have to win immediately because you're in Dallas. Denver's probably what could be like 9-8, maybe make the playoffs. Big deal. Like Dallas, like there's a formula. Everybody gets back next year. They can spend some money next year. Like you have that. The reality is you're stuck with that deal. So you have Dak Prescott there. You got to go for it.
Bogish is here with headlines for us on this fine Tuesday morning.
Good morning again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive is proud to support veterans and small businesses with their annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program, helping our heroes drive their lives forward. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school. Texans never trailed last night in Dallas, but took their time putting away the Cowboys. Cooper Rush and company had their chances to get back in the game, but never took advantage.
We just got to get the ball in the end zone. We keep shooting ourselves in the foot. Had a couple chances, a couple momentum there in the second half, especially that we just didn't punch it in.
The Cowboys fumbled twice on the same play. The Texans returning the second one for a touchdown. There was also a fourth down failure after the Cowboys took a 64-yard Brandon Aubrey field goal off the board, accepting a penalty instead to continue that drive. In the end, they lost 34-10, extending their losing streak to 5 and keeping them winless at home now through 5 games, all on a night that began with a piece of sheet metal falling from the roof to the field as that roof opened. So Jerry had a lot of explaining to do post-game.
Fixable, but it wasn't the situation, time or otherwise, to do it tonight. And certainly there was no risk at all to anybody on the field playing once we shut the roof.
Wind apparently was also to blame for all of this. Maybe more importantly, Jones said Mike McCarthy has not lost the locker room despite being 3-7. Ravens head coach John Harbaugh showing support yesterday for struggling kicker Justin Tucker.
He's definitely our best option, and he's going to make a lot of kicks. I really believe that going forward. But it's up to him. You know, it's up to him and the guys he works with every day to make those balls go straight.
There's also medicine for that.
Manhood looks different from guy to guy. But when yours bends in a different direction, you might feel bothered by it. So talk to a urologist.
Grow up, bogus.
Wait, is this the commercial that your son Jake asked you about?
Yeah, the
carrot?
Peyronie's disease?
Yeah, the weird carrot.
Peyronie's disease, yes. Yeah. Actually, the website for the information is bentcarrot.com, which I just found getting the audio of the commercial.
Is that also listed on the side of the Wicked Barbie? Inadvertently, you guys heard that one where they've accidentally put a porn site on the side of the Barbie doll package?
Whoops.
Come on. Wicked, where's our quality control?
WickedXXX.com.
Yeah. They didn't think it was worth that? Wow. And so what'd you tell Jake? It's a serious medical disease?
Don't look at me, please. Yes. I think I've blocked it out. It was so traumatic. I don't remember the conversation. Details.
Jake's how old?
Jake's about to be 11.
See, that's why I have two girls. Like, I don't have to field any of those questions. That's straight to mom category. I feel bad for you guys with boys because, I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I'm definitely, I'm outsourcing this to my husband.
Okay,
I don't
know. You're good.
No, yeah. Can I tell you I once had a... This is probably embarrassing, but...
You're on a roll this morning.
I hear it.
Okay. So my kid is 5, right?
Oh, boy.
How do I want to put this? I'd rather him just take a whiz outside than go in a porta potty. You guys get what I'm talking about, right?
Sure.
Like, if it's not a crowded area, if it's like a park or something, I'm like, I don't want to go in a yucky, stinky, awful porta potty when you're just going to stand there anyway. You're 5 years old. I can probably get away with this for another year or two where you can just like, I can just sort of cover you.
Definitely.
Right. But I don't really know much about the peeing outside, standing up thing.
There's not much to know.
Right. So when he's first getting started, I'm like, is it going to get on his clothes? Like, I was worried about that, you know, like on his.
You know, I mean, it's not.
What?
Like if it's, you know.
It's got some force behind it.
No. He's not just going to pee down his leg. I get that. But at the end, you know, when you're like running out of steam at the end.
Would that happen in a porta potty too? I'm not sure I understand the dynamics of the outside compared to, say, anywhere else.
Hey, you got to watch out for the wind.
Wow, yeah.
The way the wind is blowing, maybe the sun is getting into your eyes, kind of like Jerry Jones is.
Do you have to do like a kicker and like pick up some blades of grass?
Well, how would it work in the wind?
Yeah, that's what all men do, Maggie.
In the porta potty, I don't even want to ask this. Like, how does that work? You have to go
there's
in
like
there.
There's like a urinal in the porta potty.
Yeah, but don't you have to lift him up to
I
get
do.
To that?
That's what I. So yeah. I know it's all going in the porta potty. I know it's not going to like get on his shoes and clothes.
Listen.
Oh, I see.
It's on your shoes at 44. Don't worry about it at 5.
See, I don't know these things.
Yeah, it happens.
You guys got pee on your shoes?
I just go in the bathroom right here. There's plenty of pee right on the floor.
Yeah. You go into a porta potty. What do you think is getting on the bottom of your shoes?
No, I get that. But wait, you guys can't aim?
That is. I think every man, like, I guess I speak for all the men who live with women, that is one of the number one issues that come up at some point.
Yeah.
Pee on the floor? I've been married for a decade. But
some people have floor.
Well, there's like a spray. Like there's ricochets and stuff like that. Right. Like it happens.
Yeah,
and
then, it gets rough sometimes.
He's like, what the hell's going on?
Manny, you got a wind fan in there?
It's rough sometimes.
An oscillating fan?
Being a man is very difficult.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It really is. We don't get enough credit for that.
I know.
So we have a very small apartment. And
yeah, men never get credit.
So my wife will store things behind the toilet. I'm like, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm like, that's a spray zone right there. You can't put the kids' brush collection right underneath the toilet. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe
technically,
she trusts you.
But like, a microscopic level, yeah, I'm sure they're like, it's impossible. There's no 100. To answer your question, like, the accuracy is not 100%. But I think you would have even more issues in a porta potty. I can't even imagine. What if there wasn't a little urinal thing on the side? You had to hold them over that disgusting hole.
That'd be awful.
Yeah, outside is a way to go. Until he's 16.
He also does this funny thing. This is like for, this is obviously going to stop, but it's kind of cute. If he'll ever go to the bathroom outside, like in our backyard or something like that, he pulls his pants all the way down to his ankles. It's so hilarious.
Yeah,
I just stopped that.
My daughter.
I hope HR told me to tell you. HR wants to see it.
I had a daughter who was really into going outside on the streets in New York City. Like,
whoa.
Like at two.
Yeah.
So she would just drop down and squat. Like if there, like, there was a tree, there'd be like a golden retriever on one side of the tree and her on the other side of the tree.
Maybe this is your daughter. I saw a lady one time pick up her kid and plop him down on like an oversized, like, potted plant in Rockefeller Center, basically, and he went to the bathroom in the plant.
Sitting or standing?
Sitting.
Like the real deal.
That, I don't know.
Were they like potty
training?
I don't
know
where
what they
like...
did, but he had his pants down. She picked him up. She sat him on the in this huge, like, oversized pot for like a tree, basically.
Yeah. God,
so his bare tushy is in the soil?
Or at least too close for comfort.
Yeah, and, no.
Like, he's doing his business, and everyone was looking at like, what is happening right now?
Rockefeller Center, that's hilarious.
Well, now,
the more public place in the world.
Yeah.
Well, you guys remember during COVID, like basically everything was shut down. So even if you went to a public park, everything was closed, including the bathrooms.
Yeah, they did close.
So when we went to Orchard Park or Orchard Beach, the amount of people who were just literally peeing
in the wind
everywhere.
Oh, gross.
Everywhere. Just you turn around a tree, there's someone peeing. Oh, there's a kid just in the water, just like squatting, smiling. You just it was one of the most gross experiences we've ever had. Oh my God, that was me and Andre will never forget it. This kid runs into the water, turns around, squats, and just starts smiling. Where it's like, don't go near that kid, buddy.
Well,
that kid's doing something nasty in there.
There's a weird thing about kids when you're potty training them, they lock eyes with you when they're going. It's so odd.
That's nice.
That I don't remember.
You don't remember? Your kid never locked eyes with you?
No.
Bogus, you ever get locked into your child's eyes while they were potty training?
I mean, it was, I couldn't leave the room.
Yeah.
I guess we...
But then when they're going, they don't lock eyes?
You don't want to leave the room because you do not know what's going to be there when you get back.
Stay with me while I do this.
Talk about inaccuracy.
I'm still in there with him. He's like, stay with me. I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, my daughters want to have a full-on conversation back then. By the way, you're talking about in the water. You're talking about the ocean, EJ, because the ocean is basically a gigantic
porta
potty.
It was the
ocean,
but it was also the park, because like, there's a beach and there's a big park right next to it, too. So even because we weren't actually really on the beach, we were more in the park. And just the park, it was every way you turned around.
Yeah.
If you actually thought about going in the ocean, we'd never go in.
Well, but by the way, like every time, you know what? I think I'm going to take a quick dip. I'll be in for 1 minute and 45 seconds.
Well, I look
newsflash,
up in the sky.
I just peed in the ocean, just so everyone here knows that. just get it, you know, you get into that level of water that's just right above your way. Yeah, I peed in the ocean. I have no shame with that.
Have you ever seen the movie Dirty Rotten Scoundrels? I know Pilotti has. He's seen it before.
We're watching it right now, probably.
With Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And they do the con
movie.
Man thing. He goes, do you mind if I go to the bathroom?
Oh,
and
it
just
is
sits
fair,
there
yeah.
and stares off into space. Thank you. Great scene.
I'm a great time.
Joel Embiid played last night in Miami despite being sick, but the Sixers still lost again. 106-89. Philly is now 2-11. Third rank Gonzaga winning at San Diego State last night, 80-67. Number 19 Wisconsin had a rally to beat UT Rio Grande Valley in Madison, 87-84. And UMass football fired head coach Don Brown yesterday before the end of his third season. OC Shane Montgomery has to run the team starting Saturday at Georgia.
Oh,
good luck, buddy. Congratulations, Shane. Back to you guys.
They must really hate him.
I mean, if you're firing the guy, doesn't he have to coach at Georgia to take that shellacking?
Yeah, it's a bad idea. This is like calling the team meeting right before you play Georgia. Like, it's not going to work. Everyone knows you call the team meeting before you play a team you're going to beat. So it looks like it worked.
I'm very pro, like, no punishment. Just go out there and just get destroyed. I'm very pro. I like that.
That's the real punishment.
Yeah.
No, you save the guy. He doesn't even have to coach against Georgia now.
Some assistant is going to like get the brunt of this. And the assistant didn't do anything wrong.
Whew. Bogus, thank you. I think we learned a lot in that segment. 855-212-4227. Question for you. Should the Cowboys take a quarterback if they're drafting in the top five? Don't move.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. All right, well, Danielle Hunter had a big game last night for the Texans, but I think EJ is going to go, not going to do the obvious thing and go with the most recent thing. I think he's going to go further back. Got to be football, and I don't have a guess yet.
Okay, I've got two guesses. Someone on the Lions.
Oh, come on.
They won 52-6.
You don't get Defensive Player of the Week for beating up Mac Jones.
The second is the guy who, for the Bears, who blocked the field goal. Excuse me, for the Packers, that blocked the Bears' field goal.
It's not Special Teams Player of the Week. It's Defensive Player of the Week.
I know, but it prevented a field goal. It won the game for them. Maybe EJ's just sort of like taking a liberty.
How about I'll go with Braden Fisk, who I keep on trying on the Rams, because he almost murdered Drake May, and he is unbelievable. Rookie defensive lineman.
He's a really good player, but you guys are not close on Defensive Player of the Week this week.
What sport? College football?
We're going basketball. We're going NBA. And Defensive Player of the Week this week is Dyson Daniels, who had four blocks in the Hawks' road win over the Sacramento Kings last night, 109-108. The key play being his block on De'Aaron Fox on what would have been potentially a go-ahead game winner at the buzzer. Dyson Daniels is quickly becoming one of the best on-ball defenders in the NBA. So as much as I don't have love for the Hawks, I think Dyson Daniels deserves some praise. So he gets Defensive Player of the Week.
I think we need to take Defensive Player of the Week away from EJ next week. I think he gets suspended
to
Manny. I think he gets suspended for 1 week. That is the worst choice in November.
Four blocks last
night. You have 4 months of NBA season to do NBA players. Why are you not doing football?
I do football almost every week. This week did not have a lot of football picks. Like, there really wasn't a lot of standouts. Man, you picked a special teams player.
But technically, it brought the field goal. I think it falls into the category.
Get ready, Manny. Maggie, you and I have the name on the show. We get to vote. Do you agree with me EJ should lose a week for Dyson Daniels?
You know, I'm not sure, because EJ, putting aside his personal rivalry with the Atlanta Hawks, I commend.
I hate
because
those clowns.
We're on in Atlanta.
This dude's a G League level player.
No, that's not true. Way. He's had a very good year.
He was in the G League this year.
I don't think he has. Dyson Daniels? No.
He's a Defensive Player of the Year.
Alex is upset about this. Dyson Daniels has played very well for the Hawks this year.
If the season were to end right now, he'd get Defensive Player of the Year.
Oh, we get another NBA head on our show. You're now forever known as Alex in the
Back. Alex, you're an idiot. There's no way Dyson Daniels is getting the Defensive Player of the Year.
He's averaging three steals a game.
So what?
You know who next week's Defensive Player is going to be? OG Anunoby.
Oh, my God.
Manny.
You're suspended,
nope.
too. Alex, I don't know who you are, Alex, but you're picking Defensive Player of the Week next
Alex
week.
Alex in the Back now gets it. And it's going to be, if you make it Dyson Daniels again, then you're officially hired, because that would be hilarious. Okay, let's go to the phones. Nate is our pal in Alaska. Checking in. Nate, how's the weather? How's the snow? How are you holding up?
Well, I am holding up well. I actually wanted to say, first off, whenever you're going back to that guy who was talking about hair and you're talking about the old pictures, you're talking about the Kodak moment. You missed that. That's what it was.
Oh, Kodak moment. I didn't miss that. I know exactly what you're talking about, Nate. Yes, that was Phil in Pennsylvania. Quickly, Phil and his wife once a year allow a hairdresser in Texas to just do their hair sight unseen. Like, they get surprised by the dye, the style, and it, you know, they have it for like 3 or 4 months. So we wanted Phil to send us a photo of the finished product, but he said he didn't have an email address. So then we figured out you can actually text a photo to an email address. Our email address is maggieandperloff@gmail.com. All right, Nate, what do you have?
Yeah, I'm not here looking for your guys' phone numbers. All right, so give me one thing. Do you want the animal update? Because it's a big one. Or do you want what I wanted to say?
We want the animal update. We only have about 30 seconds, though, Nate. Go ahead.
Okay, the animal update is a dead humpback whale just beached itself 2 miles from me.
Wow. Sorry to hear that for the whale.
So it's a giant frozen whale that is 2 miles from me.
Oh.
And the other thing that I wanted to say, I mean, you guys can go on with that if you
wait a minute, hold
that,
on, Nate. 15
you
seconds.
Said 30 seconds.
I'm sorry. How are you going to get this thing off the beach?
I'm not a scientist. I don't know.
Is anyone here a marine biologist?
Got to carve that bad boy up.
Load it up with dynamite.
Oh my gosh, Nate! Load it up with dynamite.
No, look up that video. One of you guys. That happened in the 70s.
Seen it many times.
We're not going to do it.
All right. We got to take a break. And do we ever? Nate, a humpback whale? Oh, no.